before you turn to the scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 25, if you're sitting with your mothers, will you hug her or kiss her or, yeah. And if she's going to be the future mother of your children, do that as well, yeah. Our world teaches us some dumb things. We are so bold and courageous to speak critical things of others, but we're not so familiar with compliments and blessings, especially with our loved ones, especially between spouses, and then with parents and children. Too often, I was reading a Facebook from one of people that I got, and normally I don't spend a whole lot of time there, but something caught my eye, and it was this. He says, when you have a teenager at your home, it's like you're living with a ghost, he said. He says, the side of your eye, you see somebody, something move, and then not too long after that, you hear the door slam. You don't see them, but you feel them and you hear them. And I thought, boy, too often we do that in the home. When we come home, instead of going straight to our mothers and to our fathers and to one another and to bless them, we're so consumed with our little things that we do not know how to treat each other with blessings and joy. And so I hope and I pray that we will be new people in Christ. Let's not continue the foolishness of the world. Let's learn to be like God's people who knows how to bless one another. And so every day, MJ, when you wake up and you see, first thing you see your wife, Natalie, give her love, kiss her, hug her for all of us. Okay, sorry to... MJ and I are two unique people because when you watch our YouTube live streaming, usually his head and my head on the back are the only ones that come. So we are brothers. Enough. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Normally I give you shorter versions to read, but here I thought hearing the story will hopefully be helpful as you hear my sermon. And so allow me to read 38 verses. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 1 through 38. This is the reading of God's word. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Paran. A certain man in Maon, who had property there at Carmel, was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel, a city, okay? His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. Caleb was such an amazing man, and yet his descendants not always follow that. Continuing, while David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were there, they were at Carmel. Nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they'll tell you. Therefore, be favorable toward my men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them. When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's servant, who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where? David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported each word. David said to his men, each of you strap on your sword. So they did, and David strapped his on as well. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, there were a wall around us. The whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now, think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 sails of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, go on ahead, I will follow you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. As she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending toward her, and she met them. David has just said, it's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness, so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David. Let it be ever so severely if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to the wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the man my lord sent, and now, my lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my lord be like Nabal. And let this gift which your servant has brought to my lord be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my lord, because you fight the Lord's battles, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God, but the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my Lord success, remember your servant. David said to Abigail, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak. Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request. When Abigail went to Nabal, he was in a house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk, so she told him nothing at all until daybreak. Then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, and his heart failed him, and he became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. Thus ends the reading of God's word. What drives your life? I want to introduce today to you four people who were driven by different motivations. A man named Nabal was driven by greed, expressed through ingratitude, and he lost it all. David was driven by rage, and he almost lost it all. Abigail was driven to bless, and she gained so much. Christ was driven by the Father's glory, so he gave up all. So let's examine these four people today. We open this passage with Nabal and his ingratitude. To get to Nabal, we have to first start with David, as King Saul at this time was hot after his trail, mobilizing his army, trying to capture and kill David. Unable to find protection from his bloodthirsty king, David roams and hides in the wilderness to narrowly escape Saul's clutches. Literally, they were playing hide and seek. David hides and Saul seeks him to kill. In addition to Saul's relentless pursuit, the wilderness had a plethora of natural dangers, along being infested with many bandits that prey on anyone. It was during this time of his life-threatening experience that David not only thought of himself, but even went out of his way to protect others who were in harm's way. Nabal's herdsmen understood really well this benefit from David's men. So we have here in 1 Samuel 25, verse 16, these are the words that Nabal's servant said about David's men. Night and day, they were a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. So they were beneficiaries of David's soldiers and men, protecting them throughout, from dangerous animals to bandits to thieves and from many, many harm. So when the sheep shearing time arrived for Nabal, after gathering the year's harvest of wool, it was time to celebrate this wonderful year. David was in the neighborhood and sent 10 of his men to ask for some food and drink from his feast table. So we get that in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 7 and 8. Now, David and his men are asking Nabal, now I hear that it is sheep shearing time, harvest, right? When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them, and the whole time they were there at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants and they will tell you. Therefore be favorable toward my men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them. He's asking. It was a very reasonable request, as they had been protecting the shepherds all year long, and no doubt because they were running away from the king's threat, right? They were barely living on survival rations. So some of Nabal's good food and wine would have been so welcome, would have been such a great, great thing for them. But when Nabal heard the request, he acted as if he had never so much as heard of David. Moreover, he lumped him with the common criminals who infested the wilderness. In 1 Samuel 25, verse 10 and 11, this is what Nabal says. Nabal answered David's servant, who is this David? Who is the son of Jesse, David's father? Many servants are breaking away from the masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where? Right? So we can see he not only refused food from his feast, Nabal took the time to insult David and his men. Here was a man who did not know how to be thankful for the good he has received. I believe one of the characteristics of a true Christian is a thankful heart, not only towards God, but also towards people, especially those people whom God used to bless. Allow me to ask you, are you a grateful person? Do you thank the people around you? Today, Mother's Day, do you really go out of your way to really thank mom? Not just with words, but with true affections and gratitude. But not only for moms, our parents, our spouses, our children, our leaders, one another. Do you really take the time to say thank you? I hope you do. See, Nabal here, we find him after his feast. Well, let me read a couple of scriptures here to explain. In 1 Samuel 25, verse 37, he says, then in the morning, the previous night, he was feasting like a king, we're told. Then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, how close he came to death, right? And his heart failed him, and he became like a stone. In fact, 10 days later, listen to how God treated him. 1 Samuel 25, verse 38, he says, about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. Wow. Question, what is the point of possessing so much like Nabal if you're not going to be there to enjoy it? So many of us are working so hard to have a large savings. But who said you'll be there tomorrow to enjoy? We take too many things for granted, don't we? Coming back to Nabal, his death is not a proof that ingratitude kills. Please, too many people, sometimes when we read the Bible and we see this happening, this man is ungrateful, and therefore God kills him. So we think ingratitude kills. That's not the point of this message. That's not a rule. Okay? So let me repeat that. Nabal's death is not a proof that ingratitude kills. But it does show us it is a terrible way to live and ultimately die. See, God is a giver of good things. And he delights for his people to learn two things. First, that we be the people that are thankful as we receive good things. Isn't it really sad? Too often we remember the bad things and forget the good things we receive. If you only remember the bad things, you'll never be thankful. God wants you to remember the good things so that your heart would overflow with gratitude. So that's the first thing, that we be thankful as we receive good things. And the second thing he would like for us to learn is this, that we be generous in our giving to others. So give thanks and give generously is how God delights for his people to live. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, I took out the earlier portion of that verse, and I gave you just the last phrase, and he says, for God loves, what? A cheerful giver. So folks, when you're serving, when Elder Frank is serving his wife cheerfully, right? When Natalie is serving MJ cheerfully, when we are serving one another, not begrudgingly, not merely out of duty, cheerfully, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now let me move to David. Nabal's ingratitude is terrible, but I am of the opinion that David's outrage is so much worse. David and his men set out for Nabal's feast, intending to kill Nabal for his ingratitude, the insults, and his rudeness. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 13, and then jumping to verse 22, listen how David acts. David said to his men, each of you strap on your sword. Why? They're going to go slaughter this Nabal's family. So they did, and David strapped his on as well, clearly intending to do just that. And about 400 men went up with David. while 200 stay with the supplies. Okay? Verse 22. May God deal with David. He's talking the third person. Oh boy. Be ever so severely, if by morning I live alive, one male of all who belong to him, Nabal's family. Folks, I want you to catch here. Nabal's vulgarity provoked a like vulgarity in David. David lost his temper. David lost all sense of his identity as God's person, servant. David, who had been able to humbly see murder-thirsty King Saul as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember? When King Saul came searching for him, relentlessly to kill him, and yet when God gave him opportunities to kill his enemy, the king, David wouldn't even lay his hand on him. Why? Because David thought the king was anointed by God, and therefore he was a temple of God's holiness. So an enemy who was out to kill him, David says, no way am I touching him. Now though, the way he sees Nabal, and Nabal wasn't even killing him, he just insulted him. He was just ungrateful. What's worse, folks? Somebody who's trying to kill you with 3,000 of his soldiers? Or a person who just says, no thanks, forget you? Surely both are wrong. But boy, it is not even close. And yet here we have David, who sees Nabal as anything but an ugly piece of garbage, a stench in his eyes. This is so frightening, because we can see how easy and quickly one can lose it all. Even the best, like David, can lose it all at a moment's heat of emotion. You have heard news, right? Where in one moment of temptation from a woman, a lifetime of faithfulness comes to a ruin for a husband, even for a pastor. That's so scary to me, because I know that could be me. And that could be actually any one of us. You know, in David's spiritual warfare, do you know who is his greatest nemesis? For David, Nabal was far more dangerous than Goliath ever was. See, sometimes in our lives, the big sins are not the most dangerous, but the small ones, the foolish ones, can cause us to fall. I remember early in my marriage, I was ready to die for my wife. But when it came to the daily mundane serving, I wasn't so ready to serve her sacrificially. In other words, I was ready to do the big things for her, but on the smaller things, not so willing. Some people can be fools like me. We really need to learn better. Amen? Men? Of course, the reverse can also be true at times, because for some people, they do well with the small issues, but on the bigger struggles, they do become blind and are overwhelmed by them. All of us must learn where we are prone to fall. And whenever we come near it, please pray and cling to God as if your life depended on that prayer time. We wish we could say that Nabal's sin should not have caused David to also sin. However, temporarily, David lost sight of God's glory, so he almost lost it all in his rage. David was acting overly self-righteous. He overreacted. His rage was an inappropriate response to the sin he was sinned against. His words and emotions were out of control. Do these things sound a little bit like you? This is one place we wish we're not like David. Like the rest of us, David needed and found help in his fight against his sinfulness. And you know, God's help came not through the form of a giant warrior, but through a weak yet beautiful lady named Abigail. So let's go to Abigail today. See, as David is intent to annihilate Nabal's family, Abigail humbly enters into his dark world. We catch a glimpse of what kind of person she is. She has the humility to hear and act on her servant's words, as we see in chapter 25, verse 14 through 17. You know, most owners and masters don't want to hear from their slaves, but she has that teachable heart. She also is discerning enough to know that her husband, though her husband, can be very foolish, just like his name Nabal means, a fool. She's wise and decisive to gather the food and bring them to David. Normally, folks, to act behind her husband's back is not a good thing. Normally. But of course, in this instance, her action will preserve her whole family, including her husband, though temporarily. Through her action and posture, Abigail does two most amazing things that I believe every Christian needs to do and want to do for one another. I believe you mothers, Mother's Day today, I believe that's the call of a mother when you are raising your children. That's the call of a parent. That's the call actually of spouses treating the other spouse. In fact, for Christian fellowship, that's what Christian fellowship should look like. In fact, in my ministry, these are the two things I pray that we can accomplish. So what am I speaking of? What are the two things that Abigail accomplished for David, which should be true for each of us? Let me present them to you today, because I think those are incredible things. First, Abigail stopped David from sinning on her knees. Let me repeat that. Abigail stopped David from sinning on her knees. You see, as David is acting overly righteous and angry and is plotting to murder a whole family, murder, folks, Abigail meets him on her knees, humbly pleading with him not to sin before God. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 23, when Abigail saw David, remember, he's coming with 400 men, bloodthirsty men. Right now, they are in rage. The only thought is, we're going to kill, slaughter all those guys in Nabal's family, all the servants, every man, every male are going to be chopped, right? So when you have this vengeance and anger over you, and not just alone, but when you have 400 like-minded people all rushing together, right? This is the scenario. When Abby saw David, what does she do? She quickly got off her donkey, bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She's on her knees. As we well know, when a person falls into this kind of rage, the tendency is to usually hurt whoever is standing in his way, even if others mean well. See, Abigail, therefore, knew the risk, and she risked the harm, and yet she still came to David. She consoles David that Nabal is a fool, that deserves to get what he's about to get. But, she says, David should not be guilty of this wrongdoing. In 1 Samuel 25, verse 28, oh, the words are so beautiful. She says, please forgive your servant's presumption. She's asking for forgiveness, even though it was he who done the wrong. She takes ownership, and then listen to what she says. The Lord, your God, not just any God, your God, will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord. Right? That's David. Because you fight the Lord's battle. And no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. She completely changes the whole approach to what he's about to do. Now, I'll get back to that a little bit later. But coming back here, because of Abigail, David actually begins to see that the Lord has stopped him from committing this evil intention he was about to do. 1 Samuel 25, verse 32 to 34, David said to Abigail, "Praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and," listen to that next phrase, "for keeping me from bloodshed this day, and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you have not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak." Wow. Isn't that just amazing? Do you have an Abigail in your life? Somebody who stops you from sinning? A little personal story here for you. I do, and I'm so thankful. See, many times, my wife stops me from sinning further. Because when I come home, very upset, because of certain things have happened. She'll come and sit with me and would ask me to just rest a little as she holds my hand. See, when I'm very angry, my emotions boil. And of course, when we are all angry, evil thoughts constantly bombard your mind. I am no different. But what my wife does is she will come near me, hold my hand. She won't say much. She'll just sit there with me and listen and will tell me how difficult life, ministry is. You know what happens afterwards though? When she does that for a while, eventually my anger subsides. And then when my anger subsides, my reason comes back, and I begin to once again turn to the Lord, and I remember my sin, and I will go to the room and repent before the Lord in tears, asking for his forgiveness, for his healing, for his grace, asking for his wisdom to know what next step I should take. See, in James chapter 5, verse 20, God tells us he's delighted when we turn a sinner from his sin. That's what Abigail did for David. That's what my wife does for me. Turns me away from my sin. But you know, I'm not satisfied with an Abigail in my life. And you know why? Because I want to be an Abigail to others as well. I want to help others from sinning as she helps me. God wants us to help others from sinning. That's Abigail. She stopped David from sinning on her knees. That's what a Christian should do for one another. That's what a mother and a spouse should do for each other. That's the first thing. But there's one more. The second way Abigail blessed David was this. She spoke God back into his life. Let me repeat that. She spoke God back into his life. Not only did Abigail stop David from sinning, she spoke God back into his life. She helped him remember that God was ruling his life as he kept David from committing the evil sin he was determined to commit. Pay close attention to the next three scriptures I want to give you. First, here in 1 Samuel 25, verse 26, we read this before, but I want you to reread it. And now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives and as you live, this is Abigail talking to David, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed, even though the Lord used Abby, she turns that around and says, the Lord, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own sin, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my Lord be like Nabal. Get it? Sure, I was the visible instrument, but I want you to know it was God who was actually stopping you. Get it? She made David look up to God and understand God is in the picture. She reminded David that he was God's anointed servant, therefore called to fight God's battle, not his own. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 28, it says, please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord because, listen to that next phrase, you, David, fight the Lord's battle. And no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. I mean, for most of us, right, we fight our own battles. I fight with you because you've insulted me. And to regain my reputation and integrity, I have a tendency to fight back with you. And here, she's turning that around and saying, look at the sovereignty of our God. Life wasn't about you winning your battles. As God's servant, our lives is to do his battle. And forgive me for saying this. So what if you're insulted a little? It is his glory that is at stake, not your reputation. The way she's turning things around. Yeah, I find Abby one of the most amazing people in the Bible. But let me point out one more thing. In Abigail, in 25:29, Abigail does something remarkable. She is so insightful and wise. Because you see, she uses a phrase that will conjure up the image of God using David. Remember David's greatest battle with whom? David and? Thank you, sir. Love, handsome, wonderful voices. All of you are too weak. Right? David and Goliath. Look how she turns that around and takes him there. Samuel 25:29. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, David, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God, but the lives of your enemies, and now the next phrase, he will hurl away. Okay, that's an imagery that she wants to implant in him. And then she asks this, as from the pocket of a what? Sling. Remember how they fought? Right? Goliath came with his armor and the sword and everything. And David came how to battle? With a little sling. Here she is using that imagery of yesteryear, bringing in now, because there it was clear David was fighting the Lord's battle. He didn't just go out as a little child to fight this gigantic, humongous man. He was representing the Lord's army, David was. And by she turning his heart and his focus onto that battleground again, he would have remembered, yeah, my life is not to claim my reputation, but it is to fight his battle. he would have remembered his life was about him, not about him. See, though David was blinded with rage, God used Abigail to open his eyes and helped him see the beauty of our God once again. Again, I believe the Christian life is about these two things. First, humbly helping others from sinning. Humbly helping others from sinning. So whenever you see your spouse, your family, your friends, if they're falling into sin, your job is not to there be there and watch. It is like Abigail. Get off that donkey. Get off that horse. Get off whatever you were. On your knees, pray to protect them from that sin. That's the first. And the second work is to speak God back into their lives. Remind them your identity is no longer you. You are not Frank Stasek anymore. You are Frank Christian, a man of God, living for his glory. Spouses, families, and friends, Christians, we need to learn to speak God back into the lives of the people. Sanctification is very similar. We can describe it in this twofold direction: fight against our sinfulness and grow into the likeness of Christ. If you just said it differently, it is the same thing. So let me ask you, as people of God, are you fighting against your sinfulness, daily desiring to grow more like Christ? Are you helping others fight their sinfulness and helping them grow more like Christ? These are the two battles that we are to fight in this world. Too often we are consumed with many things, aren't we? Success and health and security and so many things gets distracted and hinders us. These are the two battles. Fight against sin and grow more like Christ. Let me take you now to Christ. As beautiful Abigail is, she's only a small reflection of someone more beautiful, more sacrificial, completely perfect. You and I may be like Nabal, ungrateful for all the good things our God gives us so freely. Yet, instead of sharing the good gifts we have received so generously, we can be so stingy, so lazy, so selfish, right? Yet, despite such ugliness in us, still, Jesus desired to offer his life, to pay the full price that our sins deserve. Why? Because he truly loves us. We may be like David, blinded by our rage and self-righteousness, thinking that we are better than others, repaying the sins of others more harshly than they deserve. Yet, instead of punishing us for our anger and disappointment and sinfulness, Christ instead wore our sinfulness and in return, he actually clothed us with his righteousness, with his glory. Why? Because he truly loves us. Though we do not measure up to Abigail's beautiful ways, still, God forgives our shortcomings and has adopted us as his children so that we can live in his everlasting kingdom. Why? Because he truly loves you. Surely we deserve to enter into the everlasting place of weeping, yet God the Father shut the doors of hell for us in the sacrifice of his Son, and instead has ushered us into his presence so that we can enjoy his glory for eternity. Why? Because he really, truly loves us. Our God is truly glorious, more beautiful than anything or anyone in this world. And he truly loves you more than you can ever imagine. Let me close this message. How are we to respond to this message? May I turn our hearts once again to the four people that are presented to you today. First, let's learn from Nabal what he wasn't. To be grateful, to be thankful, to be generous. Second, let's learn from David to be more forgiving, to be a bit more gracious when others sin against us. Third, let's learn from Abigail these two things: to help others from sinning and to speak God back into their lives. And lastly, let's thank Christ for who he is and what he has done for us, because how much he truly loves his children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the more you help us gaze into your truth, the more we see you search our hearts and examine it, causing us to see the shortcomings and the foolishness in us, sometimes like Nabal, sometimes like David. But Lord, you do not conclude simply with our failures and shortcomings. You lift our eyes and our hearts and our minds to you and to your beautiful ways. And today, you have given us this beautiful lady, Abigail, who humbly will come in the face of threat and harm before 400 crazy men ready to kill others, and yet, knowing the danger she was placing herself, perhaps even risking life and death, on her knees, Lord, she stopped David and the 400 bloodthirsty men from committing their sin. And Lord, you used her again, not only to stop him from sin, but to once again help him remember you are the Lord of his life. You spoke God back into his life. And how we pray, Lord, that we will do that to our spouses, to our families, and to our church members, and to all the friends we meet. May we be your ambassadors, Lord. Thank you for your incredible, incredible ways. Thank you, Lord, for our dear mothers who, like Abby, oh Lord, has stopped so often our sinfulness and has taught us of our God in so many ways. We thank you, and we lift all of these things in Christ's wonderful, precious name. Amen.